So what are we busy talking about? There we go. I wonder what gave that away. So I saw two people running out now when you said go, so I don't know where they're going. But it's amazing how quick time goes. This is the last Sunday in November. Then we're into December. So some of you already like getting ready, slowing down, boiling that gammon, getting the charcoal ready, getting the potatoes done, because Christmas is around the corner. It's here. It's upon us. Stuff up last weekend already, because my Amy decided this time to have Christmas in the house. So yes, we've already got everything up and running there. But time goes quick. I started off with gather, we looked at grow, serve, and today we're looking at go. And it's just how quick time goes. The month is gone. To invite friends, we're going to pack chest. And then it's the 8th. So like Laura said, I really want to encourage you, invite friends. We're going to pack chest to the back. It's a Christmas celebration. There's some stuff happening. We're going to sing some carols. It's just going to be a great gathering time with family to glorify His name. So please don't miss out on that. Just don't come here at 9 o'clock. Well, you can, but there's no one going to be here. Okay, so bring your own coffee, sit there on the floor, but come at 4. That'll be the best time to go. Well, it starts at 4. Come a bit earlier. So we looked at gather. We looked at grow, serve, and today we're looking at go. So I know, even preparing this in the week, when I start talking about the word go, I think a lot of us will dial out. Because our first reaction will be, but that's Lawrence's team. They're the going team. It's not me. There's other guys that's going to go. Terry goes. The elders, they must go. That's not me. So when I say the word go, what is the first scripture that comes to mind? That we must be? Okay. What else? What other scripture? Come on. Matthew 28. What does it say? Go and? Okay, but who does he speak to? So in other words, when I say go today, I'm talking to us. And I want you to remember this. And it's Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. That word go is very interesting. That word go does not mean sit on the chair. It means get up and go. That's deep, I know. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Exactly what we're going to do today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of ages. So this is called the Great Commission. Who's talking here? It's Jesus. I want you to understand this commissioning is not coming from your headmaster. This commissioning is not coming from your neighbor. This commissioning is not coming from the mayor of Edenvale, if there is such a thing. It's not coming from whoever is giving this commission. It is important for me and you to understand that the maker of heaven and earth stands before me and you, and he doesn't give you a suggestion, friends. This word here, this piece of scripture here, is not a, well, if you feel like it. It is actually an instruction to me and you, and he says, go. And I love this when you open this verse, and I'm not going to look at that, but it says, I will be with you every step that you take till the end of time. But there's almost like, when you go, I will be with you. You're not doing this alone. And I think that is our biggest fear, is that when I go, what do I do? What am I busy with? What am I going to say? How am I going to talk? And in that piece of scripture, it gives us two things. And he says to his disciples, do two things, baptize them and teach them. Baptize them and teach them. What do we teach? How did Jesus teach his disciples? By example, by showing, by this, do what I do. Friends, it is sometimes I think when we look at the word go, a lot of us close down and we go. It's the evangelist. It's not me. It's for other people. I want to tell you that some of you are comfortable. I've met some people here. Some of you are comfortable to talk in front of 10, 15, 20 people. Some of you will say, not a chance. So my oldest daughter, I'm not going to embarrass her. She's doing the AV at the back. Don't give her people. She will tell you. She's like Sonia. Give me dogs. Don't bring people into my space. But you know what? One-on-one, I can talk. We can have a nice conversation. I'm not saying when you go, he's going to make you uncomfortable. Well, actually, he will. Let's not lie to each other. He will make you uncomfortable. But you know what? God has put the capacity inside of you of who you are. That DNA, that fingerprint that he's placed on your life, he has done that with a purpose. If God says, you know what? I have commissioned you to go and be with one person, please go and do it. If God has called you to stand in front of 80-100 people, please do it. If God has called you to start a life group next year, please do it. Because that is part of how we go and we make disciples, teaching them. Jesus taught them and he demonstrated to them. He lived what he was teaching. Jesus taught them how to pray, but more than that, they could see in Jesus' life. Get up in the mornings, go to a lonely place, and he prayed. He taught them, but more than that, he demonstrated to them. So you and I need to teach and demonstrate. We need to be a people who open our homes and allow people in. I'm not just giving you head knowledge, but I'm showing you how. When we see where the 6 foot wall, not just here. We need to be a community where the 6 foot walls come down. Now, I live in an amazing complex and it's nice because they have to phone me to get you in there. So I can decide if I want you and if I don't want you. Friends, I want to tell you what, I think we need to break that mentality in our lives. We need to have open doors to say, you know what, if I'm going to disciple you, if I'm going to walk a road with you, if I want to teach you, if I want to show you, you need to be part of my life. You need to see how I pray. You need to see how I drive. It's gone very quiet with me, eh? You need to see how I react in traffic on the way to Sandton. How I lose my godliness in 5 seconds, not even minutes. I just drive on Modderfontein Road here with one robot out and people just forget how to drive completely. And I had to come to church this morning, to church, and behave. So I can't think these thoughts even. It's bad. But you know what? When you and I open our lives, people can start seeing, hang on. And I loved how this morning we can start the worship and there's a bit of a hiccup there. It's okay. It's perfectly fine. Because you know what? We're not in that box that everything needs to run perfect. And I think when you look at people's life, we think that you and I need to be perfect first before we can go. It's not, and we'll get to that. We could look at Jesus' command to the disciples in this way. Number one, he calls us to reach the people in our current sphere of influence, our family and our close friends. And then secondly, he charges us to share the gospel with our neighbors and the people in our local community. And number three, he commissions us to reach not only the country we live in, but also to reach all nations of the world. It's a phrase that I've just get in my head and I was thinking of it. God has called us to the neighborhood and the nations. And that's something that you and I need to understand that next year, as we go and we start next year, we're going to be a family on mission. And it's for the neighborhood to Eden Glen. We're going to go to Eden. It starts with our own. And we're going to go to our schools. We're going to go to Eden Glen. We're going to go to Edenvale. But there's nations out there that you and I can go to. And we can do what God has called us to do. John 15, 16. My favorite verse in the Bible. If I ever want a tattoo, it'll be somewhere where you won't know it. John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go. Go. Go and bear fruit. I love this. That scripture, Jesus doesn't say, sit in the temple, sit in the church and just bear your fruit there. He says, no, no, no. I'm giving you something. Go. Where you are placed in your workplace. Friends, sometimes you're probably just slugging away there. I want to tell you, you are there for a purpose. It is to bear fruit. The school that you're in, you are there for a purpose. Not because mom and dad tells you, but because you need to be there. The university that you're in, your place that you're in, God has placed you there to do what? Go and bear fruit, every single one of us. If you have your Bible with you, please open in Matthew 4, verse 18. And I'm just going to look at a couple of things in here. Matthew 4, verse 18 to 20. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus speaking here, he says, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. The Message translation reads like this. Walking along the beach of the Lake of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. Jesus said to them, come with me. I will make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I will show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. They didn't ask questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. So here we have... okay, that was Matthew 4, verse 18 to 20. So here we have Jesus calling his first disciples. Again, who's calling them? Jesus. Jesus is appointing here. And friends, I want to tell you, in the time that you and I are sitting here, in the time that you are operating, the time that you and I are living in, I want to tell you this morning, Jesus is still calling. Jesus is still calling. Jesus is still knocking on doors. This morning, Jesus knocked on doors and he says, open them up. I want to come in. I want to tell you what, in your personal life, Jesus is still calling. This morning, in our time of worship, Jesus is still calling. Jesus is still busy pointing out. Jesus is still commissioning. Jesus is still sending. Jesus is still looking at every single one of us. Jesus doesn't look at, okay, yes, just a chosen few. I want it to still going through our hearts. He's still looking at it, and Jesus is calling. He's still walking through. He's still going through our hearts. He's still looking at it, and he says, I'm calling you. My son, my daughter, I am calling you. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus says to his disciples, whoever wants to meet my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. John 10, 27, the great shepherd. This whole verse, this whole chapter. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I want to tell you what, Jesus is still this morning calling each and one of us, come follow me. Come and follow me. But I want to tell you what, and this is the second point. With the following comes the sending. Jesus says to Peter, come and I will send you to be a fisherman. The calling is one thing, but then Jesus says, I will send you out. And that's where go comes with. You are called. You're sitting here. Jesus is knocking on your door. It's not going to stay like that. You're sent as well. Matthew 4 verse 19. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you to fish for people. Mark 6 verse 7. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. The same context, just a different gospel in Luke 9 verse 1 to 2. When Jesus had called the 12, so there's the calling, together he gave them the power and authority to drive demons and cure diseases, and then he sent them out. I want you to see this picture this morning. There's a drawing, there's a come here, and then there's a sending out. Hope City, as Jesus is busy knocking on doors this morning, I want to tell you, he's drawing you and he's drawing me in, and he says, come to me. But when you and I stand with him, he says, okay, let's do business. Now, go. And make disciples. Go out. Go and fish like I've said to you, like I've trained you. And that's where this comes in. Sandwich between calling and sending, we have making. So if you go read Matthew 4 verse 19 in the ESV, it says this. And Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. Come to me. Draw closer and I will make. That's my third point. Prepared to send. Jesus gets us, calls us in, but then he prepares me and you. He walks a road with me and you. He sends people on your path that disciples you, that helps you, that trains you up, that matures you, that grow. It's one of our values, is grow. That you will not stay the same, but that you will mature. And when you and I grow, and we're busy growing, then you and I go out. Can I tell you something, friends? When you get saved today, nothing stops you to go tomorrow. Nothing. I think sometimes we feel that the going needs to be accompanied with a 3-year diploma in theology. It needs to be accompanied with a 10-week course of whatever. I want to tell you what, when Jesus grips your heart, that next morning you can't keep quiet. Done. You will tell of what he's done. You will go like that woman at the well when Jesus met her and he explained to her and he showed her who she is. She went to that town immediately and she told everyone, come and see this Jesus. She didn't do a 6-week course, friends. She had a 6-minute encounter with Jesus Christ. And she walked down there and she called that whole village to come and see. Why? Because she had that coming and she went. And she called them. I want to tell you what, this morning, when you and I standing in his presence this morning, how can we keep it to ourselves? How can you and I say, you know what, this is for us? No, my friends, there's people out there that needs to be in his presence like this. There are people that needs to be set free of chains and bondage. And it's in times like this that that happens in their lives. We can't keep it quiet. We need to go. We need to be out there. Jesus says, come follow me. I will equip you. I'll prepare you. I'll deposit something in you. What does Acts 1 verse 8 says? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that whole thing of that and that the encounter of the Holy Spirit come upon us is to do what? To go out and to minister. To go out and spread the good news. To go out and tell people of what he's done. Jesus says, when you go, you are not alone. I'm sending you the helper, the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. I know, man, sometimes you just approach and you go and they say, go and just go speak to people. I am not that type of person, believe it or not. Because I can stand up here and talk a lot of nonsense sometimes. I'm not the type of person that can go into a shop and just say something. But when I stand there and I feel the Holy Spirit is drawing me to something and someone, I will do it. Because he says so. And that's very different, friends. And that's something that is inside of us. The Holy Spirit says, you will not be alone. Jesus says, every step that you take, he will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Trust me, when you and I start going, Jesus is with you every step that you take. The Holy Spirit is guiding you and is leading you. Through his word, he prepares, he equips us. Look at this verse again. Luke 9, verse 1 to 2. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he, Jesus, gave them power and authority. Jesus equips us, friends. When you and I go, there's an equipping happening in your heart. There's equipping happening on your life that Jesus equips you to go out. The next point, Jesus doesn't call perfect people. This is beautiful. This should be liberating for all of us. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27. But God chose the foolish. You can put there in brackets, DJ. Of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose us the lowly things of this world and the past things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Sometimes we think we need to have all our ducks in a row. We need to have done the evangelist course. We need to have done some form of training before we can go. It's beautiful when Jesus got to Peter and Andrew. What did he say? Come and follow me. What did they do? Immediately. These folks didn't think about it. They got up and they go. But I want to tell you, they were fishermen. Okay. Have you ever met a fisherman? Some of you fish. Because last time when I said it, you threw me with Bibles and stuff. I saw that. So some of you are fishermen here. Okay, not like by trade. Have you ever smelt a fish? It's horrible. There's nothing lacquer about it. It doesn't smell like a piece of steak. It doesn't. Even if you braai it. I'm sorry, Vaughn. It doesn't smell nice. There's not that aroma of a boerewors or a bacon. There's not that. When you braai fish, you're like, am I going to eat this now? Really, is this my meal? I'm like, maybe some snook with apricot jam is different. But no, it doesn't. Look at, these oaks did not smell very lekker. They were not the most educated people in the world. They were fishermen. Jesus came and he went to the fishermen and he says, come. Why? Because Jesus chooses anybody that he wants to. And I want to tell you what, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Listen to me very careful. Because we think sometimes, I need to have all these things. I need to have all this head knowledge. I need to have all this in my heart before I can go. No, my friend. These two oaks are minding their business, fixing their nets, getting themselves ready. And Jesus has come. The two of you, today, we're going to sort this out. Today, I'm going to train you up. Today, I'm going to take you and I'm going to put something inside of you. And you will change. I mean, Peter, at the end of it, after messing things up, preached. And how many people got saved? 5,000 people. This is the same fisherman on this side that got saved. This is the same fisherman that called, that walked with Jesus. As Jesus got him ready, as Jesus prepared him, stood at that point, started preaching, and that's how the New Testament church started. This is the same fisherman, friends. And you look at your life, and you're probably looking in the mirror, and you go, I don't have that head knowledge. I don't have that. Trust me. There's my wife. There's days in my life that I look at the mirror, and I go, Lord, why did you choose me to lead a church? I am not the most qualified person in the world. I'm not the most eloquent speaker in the world. I need to be corrected constantly about my English because this Dutchie sometimes struggles big time with his is and arts and has and hasn't beats. But I know this, that I was at a point in high school where God says, I'm choosing you. You don't have a choice, my friend. I am choosing you. And I'm still in the process of Jesus dealing with me that we can get to that point that we can go. But I want to tell you this morning, please, don't disqualify yourself because you look at your degree and it's non-existent. You look at your life and you think, well, these things are not happening. I don't have the successful marriage. I don't have the successful business. I don't have the friends. Jesus looks at you and he's choosing you. He's picking you, every single one of us. Sometimes we look at big capacity and we say, yo, that's the guy. Jesus is, that's the one. No, my friends, Jesus picks the people that are most unlikely. And he takes me and you and he says, you, it's you that I want. Man, go look at half of those prophets. They were fruitcakes, man. Those guys were like, sometimes you look at their life and you think, how on earth? I looked at those disciples at the end of their life. I mean, right at the end of being with Jesus. What do they argue? Lord, who's going to sit at your right hand? It's going to be me. It's going to be. That's what they're fighting about. After being in his presence. How doof can you be? But you know what? I wake up Monday mornings and I feel like that. How doof am I sometimes? I want to tell you what. Please don't disqualify yourself. Please don't look at yourself and go, man, I can't do this. I'm not ready. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I don't talk like this. You are the right person. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. God, he will form you and that you've never thought that he can use you. God will take you, he will shape you, he will form you, and he'll put you in places where you thought you'll never be because he's God and he can do it. He qualifies the called. He qualifies the called. Matthew 4:19. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Jesus doesn't approach them, break out in this deep theological discussion. He tells them who he is. Listen here very quickly. This is, every time I just read the parables, every time I read Jesus' encounters with people, Jesus had a way to meet people where they're at. Jesus went to fishermen. He started talking to them. And he doesn't say, thus saith me. And he opens up with this deep conversation into theology about the new temple. He didn't do that. He said to, hey, guys, today I'm going to make you a fisher of men. At their language, he spoke to them. When you and I are sharing with people, please meet them where they're at, not where you are. Okay. Please meet people where they're at. Because what did Jesus do? He met them there, but he didn't leave them there. He took them with him to the point where he wanted them to be. But he didn't stay here and say, excuse me, you guys need to be over here. He went to them. He go. This is it, friends. You and I need to get this in our heart, that you take one person, you says, this is where you are, but I want to tell you what, you and I are going to get over there. That's where we need to be. That's what God has got in plan for you. That's a store. That's the ultimate place where God's calling us to. Let's, you and I, make this a value in our life. Meet them where they're at. I think this is the last one. The calling requires obedience. Matthew 4:19-20. Come follow me, Jesus said, I will send you to fish for people. I love this. I absolutely love this. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Two verses on, 21 and 22, same thing. Going from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boats and their father. How's that? The other two left their nets here. So the next one's probably leave your wife. Don't do that, please. That's not. They left their boats, and immediately they followed Peter and Andrew at once. James and John, immediately. Many times you and I first negotiate with God, eh? We bring our T's and C's to him. Lord, okay, I'll go, but this and this and that. Lord, sure, okay, but these oaks immediately left their nets. Now you got to understand, when Peter left his net, it wasn't like a fishing rod. Okay, I hope my fishing terminology is right here. He didn't leave his little fishing rod on the floor and follow Jesus. You need to understand this morning, he left his livelihood there. That was his job. That was his income. That was his salary. That was his everything. He grew up probably looking, say, one day when I'm bigger, I want that boat. That's what I want. That's where I want to be, because I want to be this great fisherman. Jesus says, come follow me. They looked at Jesus. They had this encounter, and they looked in Jesus' eyes, and they left their livelihood there to follow Jesus. It cost them a price. It cost them something to lay down to follow him. When Jesus said to me and you, follow me, what does he say? Pick up that cross and follow me. It's a cost, friends. With those obedience comes a price to pay. You and I sometimes need to lay things down. You and I sometimes need to say no to certain people in our lives. You and I need to sometimes walk away from business deals that are not right. You and I sometimes got to change the way that we talk because it's not godly. You and I got to sometimes break away from the way that we treat our husbands and our wives and our kids because it's not godly. It's going to cost a price when you and I go. Because you need to leave stuff behind. They left it and they went. With obedience comes a price. Matthew 19, 21, 22. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. That's the encounter Jesus had with this young, rich young guy. He says, what will it cost me to be with you? What will it cost? He said, it will cost you everything. Sell it. He left there and he couldn't do it. Friends, because obedience to Jesus is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. And it's quite amazing. And I say it jokingly and lightly, yeah. But there are people that's giving their lives for this gospel. We always say it. In Joburg, you and I could drive here freely. Nothing stopped us to be here this morning, except our own self that's not less always to come to church. But nothing stopped us. But you go to certain countries, it's costing them their lives to go and be, to gather, to grow, to serve. It's costing them something. Jesus is still calling. With a calling comes sending. Prepare to send. Jesus doesn't call the perfect people, and the calling requires obedience. This call is to us, Hope City, that you and I will go and make disciples. That we will go and make disciples. Please go where God is telling you to go. Please be in the place that God says, be there and bear fruit. Please be there. Sometimes you and I are in a position and sometimes we're like, oh, Lord, I don't want... If it's not from him, if you bash that door open, let's talk about that. But if God placed you there, and sometimes it's a bit uncomfortable, don't move, because God has called you to be there. I want to end with this. And this is not to put it heavy on you, okay? I just want you to understand this. Matthew 24 verse 14, because we're talking about neighborhood and the nations. Matthew 24, 14, and the gospel of the kingdom will be paid in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Jesus says the whole nation needs to first hear this message before he'll come. Do you think that there are places in this world that's not heard the message yet? Honestly. It's crazy to think that with technology today. Do we have that map? Let's quickly put that map up. Okay, so the red dots is unreached areas. So when we say unreached, and please, I read this from a website called the Joshua Project. It's actually people that came through, and there's some of the guys in the NCMI ranks that are quite involved in this. But the red areas are people that will once in 30 years, hear the name of Jesus Christ. You and I will probably hear it once a day. You and I will probably pick up on it. You and I will be in church. We'll be in life group. We'll be part of WhatsApps going through. We'll be part of groups. Those red dots are people that will never hear the gospel. They might hear the name of Jesus once in 30 years. It's unreached areas. I don't know. Maybe someone here is sitting and saying, Lord, that's me. Send me. Because we call to the neighborhood people. That's people groups. Unreached groups. Groups by country that are unreached. 17,000 people. That's people groups. Unreached groups is 7,187. That is 41%. That is high, friends. And scripture says, once everyone heard this message, Jesus will come back. I think there's still some work to do.